And this is Thursday.
And we're back up to full strength once again.
We are. I don't sound
welcome back.
You know, I don't sound like I have the head cold from Hades. And
that's true.
You decided to show up again on a Thursday. It's a good
You're never going to let me forget that, are you?
What's your name again?
Yeah.
This.
Well, just remember, next week.
Oh, next week you're flying this ship solo. Wait, isn't that flying this ship solo? Whatever you're doing.
You
next
meted
week.
Your mixophores.
I yeah. I do.
Yes.
I did. Whatever. This is episode 8 of
Upon Further Review with the Podcast Profs.
And you are?
I am Soren Fanning, and you are?
Wait, what do you do here?
What I do this you show, do? Apparently.
What do you do with this institution?
I am the Associate Professor of World History here at lovely Robert Morris University.
And it is a lovely day, by the way. It feels like fall.
Finally.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, at least we didn't have to wait till November this time.
This is true. And I am Anthony Moretti, an associate professor in the Department of Communications. And again, it is episode 8, but...
Is it the 25th yet?
I was going to say, that's not the number in our head, is it?
Oh, no. I'm going to ask again. Is it the 25th yet?
It's...
Or is it time for the 25th yet?
On the calendar, it's not the 25th yet, but... So let's see if we get this right, as our listener... All right, do you like that?
Oh, hey, listen, this show reaches an audience of tens.
How do you know?
That's bigger than my show, if it makes it feel better.
Well, I'm just...
Audience in the single digits. Fight me.
He who apparently has audience envy. I mean, he must like Donald Trump or something then, right?
Please. He doesn't deserve an insult like that.
His audience is bigger than our audience.
I dropped
right?
a broom on my eye yesterday. Give me some slack.
There's a story behind that. That
he no. can't handle his brooms?
No, our resident wanted some salt, so I was reaching up on the shelf to get out one of my boxes that probably had salt in it, and I forgot I put my little dustpan on it. So the dustpan attacked me very viciously, and it hurts a lot.
Well, we have
16 hours later. It's great.
Producer extraordinaire John Rowland recovering from a vicious duster attack. So we are glad you are with us.
I still think that he can't handle his brooms is pretty good.
Are you making up for lost time?
You can get swept up in some of these, can't you?
There's no stopping him, folks.
That's why you are so looking forward to next week. But as we return to more germane topics, as our audience tries to figure out what in the world are they talking about when they say the 25th, here's just a little hint as to why we're thinking about the 25th. Number one. We cannot stay in Puerto Rico forever.
Well, aside from mocking the accent used by, let me think, if I round up slightly, all the people in Puerto Rico.
Right.
The president has essentially decided, yeah, you guys were a mess before the hurricane, we're out, tough noogies, you're on your own.
Now, keep something in mind. What is that slight little problem about telling the Puerto Ricans that, you know what, we can't stay and help you forever?
The fact that they are part of the U.S.?
Whoops.
Yeah. You know,
minor complication.
You can't just leave. It would be the equivalent of telling Michigan, sorry, we're out. I mean, you can't do that.
This is true. So that's one issue.
Yeah. I mean, you can't separate from the country. We fought a whole war about this about 150 years ago.
Fake news.
Yeah, we settled this.
Fake news. Now, the second issue is, how do we put this politely?
Well, before we move on to the second issue, I can't help but notice, do you really think he would have had this response if we were talking about, say,
New York City?
Or Montana?
No.
No.
Wait, Montana's part of the U.S.? No. Stop that. Isn't that like really Southern Canada? All right, so we have...
Are you proposing we change its name to South Canada? They're, North Dakota. They've been worried about the... They've actually had this idea that the name North is what scares people off from moving to from North Dakota.
Right.
Even though it's the fact that it's
north of South Dakota.
Right. So maybe they should change their name to South Canada.
South Canada. There you go.
I like that.
I like that. Would work. That would
the
work.
The comedian John Oliver once referred to Mexico as Spicy Canada.
And that's why he is who he is. And that's why
exactly.
We are who we are. But anyhow, so we have telling American citizens that, you know what, we really can't invest too much money in you.
American citizens in an American Commonwealth that is part of the United States. Yeah, that.
Minor complication. Then we have the second issue, which is...
We have a lot. We have more
issues. We have
issues.
Lots of issues, yeah. Well,
this week, we have more issues than a National Geographic omnibus. I mean, this is...
Wow, that's intense.
That's... Yeah.
Yeah. So then we have the, let's tell the Iranians to go to, even though the Iranians are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
I want everyone, let's let this sink in, that the defense establishment, the State Department, the international community, everyone is saying that Iran is in compliance. And President Manbaby decided to throw a hissy fit.
I thought he was paper towel thrower.
Well, you can be both.
Okay.
Because he didn't like it. So now we have this rare instance to watch a country throw out an actual functional peace deal that everyone agrees is doing what it's supposed to be doing because Donnie John doesn't like it.
Now.
And by the way, he's about to make Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell's life's living hell because... Contrary to popular belief, the president cannot just rip up a treaty.
True.
The Congress has to do that, which means now they have to put this on the front burner. They only have 60 days to decide what to do with it. Oh, wait, and they're still trying to get tax reform passed.
And on the subject of telling things from the Obama era, you don't think that's a coincidence, do you? That maybe it needs to go to, let's not tell anybody, by the way, that the health is coming up very soon because,
oh, yes.
You know, they might sign up.
Well, it's pretty clear. This president has decided to utterly and completely sabotage the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's he's not even...
With no viable alternative to replace it.
Right. He has slashed funding to let people know that, by the way, we are in the open enrollment period for the ACA. More to the point, he's also shutting down ACA offices on the weekends to make it harder to sign up. And in roughly 6 minutes, he's going to sign an executive order that essentially will allow the blue light special version of health plans. Basically, health plans that all they do is give you a little card saying, technically you have health insurance,
right.
But don't actually provide anything, to be legal.
Mm-hmm.
And the only theoretical reason you would do this is to cause healthcare costs to skyrocket.
Exactly.
Because that's what's going to happen. Everyone has said this, and he's going to do it anyway.
Two stories in the news caught my attention this week before we get on to the third issue, which you knew I was saving for the end.
Because that's far and away the most chilling.
Because it's
ahead.
The one that really makes me want to growl. I mean, not that the other ones don't, but... You know, he's in my sandbox now when he starts playing around with stuff like that. Two issues or two stories in the news caught my attention this week. One was the 18 different sources that the Washington Post used to discuss a presidency. Mind you, that is roughly 10 months in at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
You have a president who remains far more isolated by the day, who seems to be also angrier by the day.
Well, reports are coming out. They're describing his moods as dark,
mm-hmm.
volatile. I mean, this is really, all joking aside, this is a very bad situation for everybody.
And we're 10 months in.
10 months.
I mean, you know, you could say...
And he announced that he was going to run for re-election already.
Yeah. I mean, if this were the end of his first or second term, depending upon if there is a re-election, keep our fingers crossed. at least you could say, okay, he's seeing the finish line and he's bitter that X number of things didn't get done. Maybe there's justification for that dark
attitude. Or maybe burnout,
there.
But how can you be right. burned out less than a year into a job you worked your butt off for?
Well, he's also
being woefully unqualified.
Ah, ding, 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 ding.
John Rowland wins a prize. What prize does he win? A new dustpan?
Presumably.
Ideally, safety goggles. Ideally, one that like lights up in the dark
yes.
so that I know it's there.
It's there. It doesn't hit you. And then there was the second issue, the second story that caught my eye, which is the whole idea of the president essentially saying, you know, this is what needs to be done, and then presuming that other people are just going to sort of in tow automatically say, yes, sir, okay. And he has clearly, the point of that story being that he's clearly not grasped the idea that not only are we looking at three distinct, or maybe in this case, two distinct, leaving the judicial out of it for a moment, two distinct branches of government with, for lack of a better phrase,
wildly different abilities.
Yes, and competing ideologies to some extent, that right. maybe not the best word. But that here is a president who seems to not grasp the idea that just because he says, I want X done, that X is going to automatically get done. And it raises the question that I want to bounce off you. For how long does John Kelly, who is the chief of staff, who appears to be incredibly sane, who appears to be incredibly loyal to country.
Correct.
How long before one of the following two scenarios takes place? Donald Trump says, there's the door, get out of here. Or Kelly himself says, I can't handle this anymore, see you later.
Well, right now, I would argue that the only reason John Kelly is staying on the job at all is out of a profound sense of duty. And it's becoming abundantly clear, Defense Secretary Mattis and Secretary of State Tillerson, they've this has been confirmed by multiple sources. They have an agreement basically to try to contain the president.
The three of them will never be out of the country at the same time.
And more importantly, Mattis, Kelly, and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin signed what was colorfully called a suicide pact, that if one of them was sent packing, the other two would resign.
Mm.
Here's from a historical and a constitutional perspective, we are in a horrible situation because we are now openly in a position where we are counting on the military to at best slow walk orders from the commander in chief. This is a dangerous precedent. Unfortunately, with this commander in chief, the alternative is a million times worse. So this is, I don't know what to pull for here, other than living to see tomorrow. That would be lovely. I'd like to do that.
Well, and here's the challenge. As you know, false equivalencies are made all the time.
Right.
So hypothetical scenario, we get a Democratic president 3.5 years from now, almost 3 years now, it would be right. election day. And he or she plans a military action at some point in just, say, hypothetically 2022.
Right.
A still Republican in control Congress urges the military to essentially go slow. The precedent being with this current president,
right.
that's what you did. And you could see where false equivalencies are going to be promoted all the time.
Absolutely. And that's the very real fear. Now, what's interesting, what's causing all this freak out was a report, which again was sourced to multiple individuals.
Which makes it fake news.
Well, you know, there's really no question of who has more credibility at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That the president wanted not only to increase our nuclear arsenal, but increase it tenfold. He wanted to put it back to where it was in 1964 at the height of the Cold War. Now, mind you, we already have 4,400 nuclear warheads. That's more that is enough to give every state in the Union its very own World War II,
mm-hmm.
with something like a dozen and a half left over.
Well, and keep in mind as well, just the sheer nonsense of 4,400 nuclear weapons. You don't need 4,400 nuclear weapons to wipe out the world.
Right. You know, and that's just us, by the way. That doesn't include Russia. That doesn't include China. Doesn't include Britain or France or any of the others.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the military trying to inform him you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. And don't want to do that.
Yeah, and more to the point, not only can you, is it just not legally possible, it is utterly and completely undesirable. And with that, Donnie John lashed out. as the toddlers want to do. And this is where it lands squarely in your bailiwick.
Yeah, he's played in my sandbox now, okay, buddy?
go ahead. Share with the I'm assuming, horrified audience.
So, on Wednesday of this week, the president, with the Canadian Prime Minister sitting in the same room.
And by the way, the look on Justin Trudeau's face said everything you need to know. He had this look like, is he on his meds? Please tell me he's not on his meds.
The President of the United States said that, in essence, the media in this country... And he wasn't referring to you and me. I mean, let's say he was referring to the mainstream legacy media. Essentially, write and report whatever they want, however they want to write it, and it's really unfair. And maybe NBC's broadcast license should be taken away.
Okay, a couple things. One, there's a fairly important constitutional amendment in the way.
Second, I thought you were going to dump at the smoke that's currently pouring out of my ears.
All right. But okay. Second of all, and again, showing to how
idiotic,
beyond ignorant this man is, the president can't do that. The FCC does not answer to him.
Mm-hmm. And even though, sadly, the FCC over the last 30 or 35 or so years has become chronically more political than it has been, there is zero indication coming from any of the five FCC commissioners that they're at all interested in looking at NBC's broadcast license.
Oh, not at all.
But what was the story that really upset the president about NBC's reporting?
Well, one was their reporting on his wanting to increase the nuclear arsenal.
Yeah, then there's the other one.
And this would involve his Secretary of State.
Yes, who's apparently a moron. All right.
Who, understandably, apparently in a private moment, referred to the president as a effing moron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. And they reported on it. And for that, they should be taken off the air. This is how chilling this has gotten.
You know, I was saying to someone the other day that we read about this stuff in chronically corrupt democracies.
Right.
Eastern Europe, Africa, places like that.
Certain places in Latin America.
Yeah, right. Where somebody has ruled for 20 or 30 years and he has no... inclination at all to surrender power.
Right. If you were reading about this in Venezuela under Nicolas Maduro,
mm-hmm.
who recently just decided, I'm going to make my own Congress,
mm-hmm.
that would not surprise you. Mm-hmm. But now what's reassuring, the silver lining in all this, is that the only one taking the president seriously at this point is apparently the president himself. Because even his own party...
Maybe he's taking himself seriously.
...is backing off of this.
Yes. I mean,
he got into the equivalent of a slap fest over the weekend with retiring Tennessee Senator Bob Corker.
Which did not go well for him. Meaning Trump.
Well, Senator Corker offered what I think might have been one of the most elegant burns I've ever seen in my life. Just simply stating it was a shame that the White House had become, in his words, an adult daycare center. Apparently someone had missed their morning shift. Wow.
Ouch, getting cold in here. By the way, if you are just joining us and wondering who are these podcasters, this is episode 8 of Upon Further Review with the Podcast Profs, and he is...
Dr. Soren Fanning, Professor of World History, and Associate Professor.
You'll get there. There's still time. You're still young. All right.
Ish.
Remember, there is no such word as old. It's just not as young. That's the word. Phrase.
I'll go with old, thank you.
You have no...
Illusions.
Yeah, delusions, on the other hand, maybe. And I am Anthony Moretti, also an associate professor. There's a theme there. The Department of Communication at Robert Morris University. And we are examining why we think it's time for the 25th. So we've set up the evidence, for lack of a better phrase.
Right.
So...
Well, considering that, there's one more bit.
Okay.
It came out that Mattis, again, Secretary of Defense, and John Kelly, the current White House Chief of Staff, were discussing what to do if Donald Trump demanded the nuclear codes.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that one of the options clearly under discussion was not giving them to him.
Could they falsify them?
I'm pretty sure that's at least a baker's dozen worth of felonies right there.
Yeah, minor complication, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure. But then again, let's face it. Our protocols for nuclear weapons were set down under the Eisenhower administration.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely time to revisit them. I am personally, one of my suggestions is Congress needs to reappropriate what the Constitution says,
mm-hmm.
the right to declare war, and basically state the president may not unilaterally launch a nuclear first strike
mm-hmm.
without congressional approval. If for nothing, no other reason is to avoid the situation we are now staring at.
All right. So what is the 25th Amendment for people who do not know? And why do you and I think it is a necessary conversation to hold at this point?
Okay. Now, obviously, you can remove a president legally through impeachment. Now, an investigation into those
from
mythical...
Russia with love.
But Mueller's work, any good prosecutor, that's going to take time. The 25th Amendment was adopted following the assassination of President Kennedy, essentially stating that if the president is incapable of carrying out the duties of the office... This is, in short, how it would work. He could be removed mm-hmm. if a majority of the cabinet plus the vice president were to inform Congress twice that he mm-hmm. was incapable of carrying out his duties. They would do so once, and at that point, the vice president would become the acting president. Now, the president could then send a counter letter saying, no, I'm fine, I can do this job. But if a majority of the cabinet plus the vice president once again... send that letter saying, no, he's not. At that point, there is no recourse.
Mm-hmm.
There is no appeal. The sitting president would then be a former president.
Now, understand, presidents have had surgeries before.
Right.
And as a result, have been under anesthesia.
Ronald Reagan was the most recent.
I think it was the most recent. We're not talking that kind of scenario. We're not talking about a voluntary, temporary
handing over
right. of power for the X number of hours that the president is under anesthesia or otherwise, temporarily incapacitated.
Right.
We are talking a permanent removal from office, which obviously has never happened in U.S. history.
Right. And on the grounds of unfitness for office. And this would be something not physical unfitness, but mental unfitness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an awfully, you want to be careful with that. But by the same token, Congress can't do it. The public can't do it. It would require the people the president himself or herself has nominated and their vice president to all agree, either Mr. or Madam President, you are no longer capable of holding the office.
All right. Now, let's spin this further a little bit. Number one, do you see Mike Pence having the backbone to lead that initiative? And number two, do you think there are enough members of the president's cabinet to also have a spine to allow such a serious conversation to move forward?
I would hope so. Vice President Pence does not fill me with confidence, mainly because I think he'd go into the meeting, say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then promptly leave.
Unless somebody were kneeling, then he'd never even get through the pledge.
Right. Well, I'm just...
I got you. I'm with you.
I would think, I would hope that somewhere in the recesses of their consciousness is some vestigial sense of the good of the country. And this is not an ideological thing, bear in mind. Vice President Pence is considerably more reliably conservative than President Trump. So, I mean, for people
he's
in Congress...
He's also got zero volatility associated with him.
Which I think is right now the only quality that matters. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about someone who has the authority
mm-hmm.
to use our nuclear arsenal. My big opposition, and you were there for this, during the election was my fear was that this president would not behave responsibly
mm-hmm.
with this absolutely terrifying amount of power. And unfortunately, I seem to be right.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hope Vice President Pence would have the moral gumption to stand up to this. I definitely think you have McMaster, you have Mattis, probably Secretary Chow. You could probably cobble together. I could see Mnuchin going along. You could probably cobble together a bare majority.
With the proviso, perhaps, that Pence would agree that none of them would be dismissed
yeah.
if he became president. I could, you know, unless one of them became vice president, I doubt that would happen, but, you know, you could certainly well, right. see that scenario taking place.
But, I mean, and whatever the other implications of that are, we are way down on Maslow's hierarchy of needs at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about removing a mentally and emotionally unstable man from the ability to unleash destruction the world has never seen on before.
We've only got a minute or so left.
Right.
So, presume the kind of instability in the president that we currently see continues. Just to advance the conversation.
Sure.
What will it take for the 25th Amendment conversation to seriously and actually begin?
Well, I think that road has already been embarked on.
What's your evidence?
The president's temper tantrum about revoking NBC's license caused none other than Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse, Nebraska, not the most liberal state in the union, to actually openly ask in a public forum, are you abandoning the oath you took to protect the First Amendment of the Constitution? The conversation is already taking place. I think what it would take a delegation from both the House and the Senate to the vice president and the cabinet.
Okay.
To basically push them to have the intestinal fortitude to do the right thing.
And if that congressional delegation were to take place or were to form, I would hope it would be Republicans and Democrats for the simple reason that it would generate
absolutely.
For lack of a better phrase, a unified front that says,
correct.
Look, we have our differences, and sometimes they're petty and sometimes they're serious. But when it comes to this, we have built a wall, for lack of a better phrase. And, you know, it's not on the southern border of the United States. It's right here in Washington.
Well, right. And, you know, bear in mind, one single nuclear warhead contains something along the lines of 5 to 6 times the destructive power of all of the Second World War combined.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 4,400 of these things.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way for the human brain to grasp what this would entail. I mean, never mind the fact, you're talking slaughter on a scale quite literally that would be unimaginable.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason the United States and the Soviet Union for 50 years never went that far.
That's why we called it, not you and I, but why it was called Mutually Assured Destruction.
And a better acronym, MAD.
MAD.
And a better acronym has never been created. It was
mm-hmm.
madness.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope they do the right thing.
He is Soren Fanning. I am Anthony Moretti. This wraps up episode 8 of Upon Further Review with the Podcast Profs. And Soren now knows that he is on the clock. Next week, he is a solo act. And you could just see the man is like rubbing his hands together. He's got that kind of, you know, what's it, the Simpsons, Montgomery Burns?
Excellent.
Exactly. He's got the Montgomery Burns thing going. So John Rowland next week, young man, I pity you. All right.
So do I.
Vaya con Dios, amigo.
Well, not we, but he will talk to you next week on
Upon Further Review
with
the Podcast Profs.
Indeed.